Good afternoon and welcome to Campus Connection. I'm Rachel Cassandra, reporter here at KFSK. This evening, the school board will meet at 6 p.m. Those meetings are every second Tuesday. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live starting at 6. And today I'm joined by Superintendent Erica Klute-Painter. Thanks for joining me. And board member Sarah Holmgren.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, I guess things that stuck out to me about what's coming up, a lot of people were concerned about school attendance, and it sounds like that's something that you all be talking a little bit about tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I think as we're, you know, sort of coming out of the last couple years of lots of disruptions and just kind of challenging schedules, and then sort of the world closing down, and then the world starting to open back up again. I think that we're seeing kind of some things, I think, that really sort of were exacerbated because of COVID, that when people were able to travel again, or they, you know, hadn't seen family for a while, or they felt like they just really, you know, wanted to take the opportunity to get away, even looking at their own priorities as a family and that sort of thing. So we didn't really make a huge deal out of it, to be honest. I mean, once it became, there were so many other things to deal with as far as disruptions in learning and the program, and it was a challenging time. So I think what we're seeing is just a kind of a lot of trips and vacations that are being planned, pretty lengthy ones, and not necessarily kind of putting them maybe near holidays, that sort of thing. So and some kids can fare a little better under those conditions, but we're definitely seeing some correlations as just doing some of our own district assessments and just looking at connections in classrooms and looking at that sort of data, just to get an idea of, you know, how many students are we talking about and what does it look like, and just trying to see the impact. And it's not necessarily trying to be a judgmental thing or anything like that. It's just trying to look at the data and seeing where some of our kids are struggling and what are they missing, or maybe sections of time, and not even just about the academic piece, but you know, the connections in general. It's hard to make up a band class when you're not in band. You know, it's hard to make up a shop project if you're not in the shop, or have a first grade reading lesson, you know, on a piece of paper. So just, you know, those kinds of things. So the academic piece, but also just the connection piece. We need to, I think, just reorient a little bit and maybe have some of those conversations as a staff and as a school district, and maybe just really talk with our families about that as well, because I don't think people are intentionally trying to not be in school or, you know, whatever, but I think we just need to have some conversations about some of the impacts that we're seeing, or if people travel for couple 3 weeks for a vacation, then a lot of times what we're seeing is then they come back and then they're sick, and it's not even just about COVID, but it's you know, in general. So we're worried. Like I said, it's not a judgmental thing. It's just we're concerned, you know, about some of that. So anyway, it's just something we're seeing, and I think it's time to just sort of refocus and have some conversations, work with families on it, work together on it, and so I think that's where we are.
I think as a culture, we're definitely doing some social catch up of, taking trips like that now that we can. And, I imagine that, missing class would be especially hard if there's kids who are already kind of struggling with certain concepts or not getting things in class.
Yeah, it can be a challenge. And I think we did find that during COVID. There were things about it that we were able to sort of replicate, remotely and virtually and all that. But we also did hear very strongly from families that it was that they were missing that connection in the school setting and the instruction, you know, the things that you just can't quite replicate online or when you're just not there, you know. So we agree with that. I mean, I think that's kind of what became a big priority for us as a district. And I know the board felt strongly about it too, that's why we worked so hard to, do everything we could to have our kids in school and in person, you know. So I think it's just reorienting, I think, and having the conversations, really just, I think, educating ourselves and maybe trying to help families understand just some of those impacts, you know, that it's that it can have on their kids, and not just academically, but socially and all those pieces. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think for some of either new families or families, just even this is their first introduction to public school, you know, because that's their first kid going to school. And I will be quite honest that when my older one was younger, I didn't necessarily understand the impact because he did well academically. But those lessons are difficult to, like she said, replicate when you've been gone, especially if you have leeway and when you can pick your vacations. And then you also have kids that were struggling before COVID, struggling still, and then it becomes a huge burden on staff to try and get them caught up because of the timing of a trip, even if it's something that could be dealt with in a different way, flexible. Mm-hmm. But I think some of it is, again, like we've talked about, is just even reminding maybe existing parents that have been through this, you know, or that have been in the school system for quite a while, or new parents, or just an educational piece of like, no, this is a huge impact on your kid, mm-hmm. and it might be worth the few extra dollars to travel in June instead of March or February or whatever. You know, I know that isn't possible for everybody, but if it is, then it makes it that much easier on your student. Your own student, but also your classroom teacher, because the burden does, a lot of it gets transferred to the teacher to try and get that child caught up in some capacity because they've lost the lesson or they don't understand the concept now because they missed a portion of the lesson. And we all think, oh, it's only a week or two, but there's a lot of information, a lot of education that's crammed into our weeks with our kids. And it could be a crucial building block to something later, and you just never know where they're going to be at. So I can understand that piece more now later on in my life than I did even, you know, 5 years ago, and just understanding. And then we have the whole, you know, the pressure from the state putting down now K through third grade to make sure kids are reading at third grade reading level, and a week lost or 2 weeks of reading instruction is huge. You can have a kid make it go around a corner in that 2 week easily. And again, that's a lot of work and pressure on our staff who are already feeling quite exhausted.
Yeah, so. I would second that.
Yeah, and maybe families don't realize that a lot of other families are doing the same thing at the same time. So
yeah, I think that's it. It's an education piece, you know, more than just classroom education, but mm-hmm. outreach of understanding what that impact is when you do leave for a week or two in the middle of the school year.
Right.
Yeah.
The reading requirements, were you talking about the Alaska Reads Act?
Yes.
That Governor Dunleavy's, okay, do you want to talk about
I'm not
about
a huge fan, if that? People haven't figured that out.
Yeah.
Mostly, I guess I'm frustrated. There isn't much we can do about it at this point, except for try and figure out what the regulations are going to be and how they're going to enforce them. And, you know, it's not anything that we don't want. Of course, we want kids to be able to read at grade level by third grade, but there is a huge amount of paperwork that has now been, I say, dumped on the school district, which means staff. There is a whole retention piece of, like, your child might be off the charts for math, but if they're not reading at grade level, you have to have a conversation, at least more than a conversation, I believe, about retaining them and having them repeat third grade.
Wow.
So yeah. This is a huge, not only impact, but it's high stakes for our staff and our school district statewide and our students. And it kind of dovetails with the conversation we just had, is the importance of that. And it doesn't mean the child will have to repeat third grade, but you have to have some justification of why they should move on. And there's a lot of reporting that staff, teachers have to do that I feel like our district already does an amazing job. And I even was told that by deed. They said, oh, Petersburg, they've got it down. It's like, they give us a waiver. But there's just a lot of extras that have been now put on districts because of this particular law. So if parents are frustrated by it, give the governor a call.
Right.
That's what I'm going to do.
Advocate about the impacts. For
yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is a waiver a real possibility or just a fantasy?
No, okay. No, it's a fantasy, Sarah has for the district. No, I think the frustration that parents may begin to feel over the next several years when this gets really underway next fall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
the report, their frustrations need to go back to the legislature, or particularly the governor's office, because he pretty much held it over a barrel and said, I am not going to pass the budget unless this gets included. Mm-hmm. And so it was literally, I won't do this unless you pass this one that I want so badly. So if that frustrates parents, that's where they need to bring their feedback to, because we are stuck with the regulation and to enforce it as best we can.
And there are a lot of things that are still not figured out at that level. As Sarah said, the board just this month, the state board is really just going through the regulations now that have been presented to them, because of course that's what happens, right? The legislature passes something and then it goes back to the board, and then it goes back to, and we certainly have tried to have feedback as superintendents. The board members can have feedback. The community, public, parents, people can all, the regulations are on the state website. And so everything's not sorted out, which also makes it challenging to try to have these conversations with our staff, with our parents, with our stakeholders, because it's not settled. So it's, there's a lot of things still out there about requirements coming for teacher training, additional requirements even above and beyond what teachers already have for their certification. So, and those aren't decided at this point, and they're also not funded. So whatever things happen as far as requirements related to additional coursework or additional tests that have to be taken, there's not a plan at this point for that to be funded. It's just another sort of mandate, another part of it. So even some requirements around the retention piece, if you know, there may be something in there where if a student is I mean, it's a, there's some proposals out there. You know, if a student is not where they need to be, and you know, you've gone through all the processes of providing interventions and supports and provided the assessment information for families and that sort of thing, that there could be some requirements about that, you know, if you decide to promote your child to the next grade, there could be other requirements for potentially summer school, that kind of thing. And we do offer those things already as a district, but as we've found the last couple of years, you know, again, that doesn't come with funding and necessarily, and also just staffing in general. You know, we're still dealing with, we're fortunate, we are fully staffed this year. We feel very, very grateful about that, and worked really hard and have hired some amazing new people and all of that. But, you know, people are tired. And so finding staff to even conduct some of the summer sessions is challenging. You know, people are sometimes taking other coursework, or they're taking their own, potentially a family trip, that sort of thing. So it's hard, and people are tired, you know. So there's a lot to it. So it kind of plays into attendance discussions. It can be a part of calendars. You know, we're having a lot of conversations about that and kind of starting some of those discussions as well. You know, do you have considerations about, you know, doing breaks in different times, extending the school year a bit? There's a lot of research about 3 months of lost instructional time during the summer. A lot of research out there about it. So, you know, do you look at rethinking calendars, and maybe even trying to capitalize on some of the times of the year when people are able to travel at a more reasonable rate? And maybe that's something we just actually try to talk about. You know, what does that actually look like for people? And do we, rather than just trying to sort of hammer on people about it, actually look at the cost and look at the schedules and, you know, see if there's some creative things that can be done there. So it all kind of ties together, I guess.
And what kind of percentage of the students do you think would fit into that basket of, oh, if, you know, they might have to repeat a grade because their reading level is not, you know, they're not testing at a high enough reading level?
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll get a big presentation tonight. Cindy Fry, our district test coordinator, will be giving a good overview of the first installation of the AK Star, which was last spring. So that's a benchmark year. And then also just some good data about our MAP scores, looking at last year to this year. I think that was a request from the board even last spring, was just to try to look, rather than each month or every couple months, but trying to look at just kind of a year to a year. So we'll give some information about that. I mean, it's a portion of kids even here, you know, and so we're going to be looking at, There's a screener that the state is putting out that is, each district is required to do 3 times a year at a minimum, which we already do, with MAP and with some other benchmarks. But they've put one out that is, it's actually a program we used to use here a few years ago. It's called DIBLS, but it's called Amplify now. Everything changes names. Nothing wrong with the screener. It's fine. We'll implement that. But if a student in the fall is not where they need to be, then that's where they automatically, as Sarah said, then you start down this road of each month you're going to be progress monitoring, finding out where they are, providing those interventions, which again, good teachers are already doing this. It's not, I don't mean to say that that isn't happening. It's just one more piece of reporting. One more piece of, you know, that communication and that sort of thing. And so, you know, the intention behind it is good, but it will be substantial. I mean, it will be a substantial time commitment for all of us. And so that's why I think we really just need to kind of dive into, really trying to get this information out and working with our families, which we do, but really working with them, I think, to help them understand what's coming and work together. To do the best we can for their kids, for all of our kids. So be busy.
Yeah, it sounds like a huge shift and definitely, you know, the kind of thing it will take a lot of work to get the kinks out, even when it's running mm-hmm. to its 100%.
Right.
Yeah. Are there topics big on your mind that you want to hash out a little bit? I can also, I mean, mm-hmm. I called you and asked a little bit about the strategic planning committee. So mm-hmm. we could talk about that or.
Yeah, we could. Sarah could certainly talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, we're planning in January. And it looks like we're trying to get a cross section of parents, staff from all three buildings, a couple board members, students, high school students, just because it's more of an adult, you know, and it's pretty intense for a couple of days. We do have someone that facilitates it through the Association of Alaska School Boards. Tammy Tullis comes down and helps us. She did it 5 years ago, so that we stay on task and we don't get off task. And we are, last time we were able to complete it in that time period. So it's updating it, maybe making some changes to it and more than just updating, but we're hoping to, you know, it's a commitment, time commitment for even community members. So it is asking people to take a day or two of work off or kids coming out of school sure. to help with it. But usually they're kids that are pretty well engaged already. And that could, I would say, afford the time to, help us with that. But it helps with also any sort of grant writing that we do. We need to stay up on that. And plus it helps, I think, it reorients the board for our vision of what we should be doing. And we're going to take advantage of Timmy being here and have our own board work session where we're going to talk about our board goals and a few other things, but making sure we're continuing to stay on task. And then she'll also do some training with us since we have a couple relatively new board members, one from Nicole from this fall, but of course Carrie from last year. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have board training, I think. I feel very fortunate that they do such a good job because have been on other boards where you don't get training. And so sometimes it's easy to get sidetracked or just know what your role is. Don't go into the weeds, stick to what it is. So with her helping us with strategic planning, I think we'll be able to stay focused and get it done. But, yeah. And then kind of figuring out once you figure that out now, okay, Erica, this is how we want you to try and execute it. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work, but it's good work.
Mm-hmm. It'll be good to do it, I think. Good to refocus on that as well. And just, again, another one of those coming out of COVID thing. I think all of our eyes are just sort of, we're kind of just reorienting on a lot of these things. So it's good. I mean, it's nice to be talking about, even though they're challenging topics, it's nice to be talking about learning and what do we want our kids to be able to do and where do we want them to be able to go once they leave us. And, you know, so I'm excited about that part of it. I really am. I would say one other piece I would want to just add out there is we're doing a budget revision tonight as well. Karen will be there. She'll have a presentation. Just to highlight, and I know this has been discussed by the borough as well, but the heating and electricity and heating oil is killing us. I'm just going to say that out loud. So We are, you know, we were fortunate to ask for and receive an additional allotment from the borough this last year, from $1.8 million to $2 million, for our general, contribution. And then we requested additional funding to work on some of our deferred maintenance, which was an additional $200,000. I will say we're trying to really hold true to utilizing that additional $200,000 for actual deferred maintenance. So we're trying to get an actual accounting of how much we're spending. And at this point, we are revising the budget to reflect potentially an additional $150,000 for heating, oil, and electricity. We'll be spending probably over $600,000 on it this year.
Wow.
So that's a lot of teachers. That's a lot of support staff. That's a lot of
programs,
curriculum and programs. So I'm just saying that out loud because I know we're all dealing with this in this community, but it will be a larger conversation that we will be needing to have, I think, as a district looking at our next couple of years and also just with the borough in general, I think, as far as contribution. And again, I know they're dealing with it. They know. They know it. But it's a little bit of almost a cycle of, you know, we get an additional allocation and we're just sort of turning right back around and
paying
it back in utilities. So, and not even really paying what the increases are. So anyway, it will be a discussion, I know, moving into the spring. And I, you know, look forward to just having those conversations as we're working with the borough and moving into next year's budget. It's substantial. And again, so yeah, Karen will be there tonight. She'll give a good overview of where we are, and she's got lots more details about all of that. But I just think it's important for people to be starting to wrap their mind around it. It's significant.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some pretty significant academic and other pieces that we need to do. So I think we want to make sure our money's going, you know, where it should be going. So to the best of our ability. So,
yeah. I guess I did have one more question before you all go. Is you're requesting the COVID policy to be adjusted, and from my understanding, it's it would allow students to come back if the medical center gives them a date for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in August actually the CDC had updated their guidance for schools and for many facilities to have the date of sort of that quarantine time reflected from symptoms, from symptom onset. At that point, a lot of discussing it with our medical center, discussing it with other districts, you know, trying to, as we have done the last 2.5 years, figure out the best way to implement this in a school setting when we're not medical professionals. We determined that we were going to stay with the date of testing as day one and then count the 5 days from there. And basically the reason being, we're not nurses or doctors. We have run into this issue in the past during COVID, trying to be the people that determine when symptoms start and what those symptoms are. And we're not qualified to do that. So at this point, we do have a school nurse that we are working with through the medical center, and she spends about 20 hours a week in our schools. So we feel more comfortable if she's engaged with some of this, and also if we do receive, you know, sort of a date from the medical center that they've determined as, you know, this would be the return date that we are determining, and we would go with that. So that's basically what the change is. And if we don't have that date, we're just going to stay with the same,
the,
you know, date of testing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Any other last thoughts?
No, but we're glad we'll be back on the air. I think last month it was election.
Oh, that's right.
So,
right.
Right. Feel free to call in. Or I guess you can't call in, but you can do online or you can stop in and listen.
Yeah.
Show up. Welcome people to listen. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks for joining me for Campus Connection. When we get a chance to talk about the agenda for the school board meeting.